The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to The Cast of Us, a podcast dedicated to The Last of Us on HBO and brought to you by the Fan Critical Podcast Network. Now, dear listeners, I cannot begin to tell you how happy I am.
Are you?
Very. Yeah, okay. That was happy, yeah. That this day is finally here. Today is essentially Outbreak Day, as The Last of Us has finally had its series premiere.
Yes. You say happy. You seem edgy.
Oh,
you seem nervous.
Well, you know, it's been a long time coming for us, Gaff, and that for that reason, I'm gonna pop open a bottle of our favourite whiskey.
Oh yes, please. What have we got?
This is a Dolphin Scottish malt whiskey. Something that I believe Joel would probably be very fond of. He loves a bit of whiskey. Even see a bit of it in this episode. Definitely time to celebrate for us. And you've already heard him, but joining me is my fellow survivor, someone I've protected, someone I would call my travelling companion, someone I've helped through this brutal existence his whole life. It's little Gareth. How are you, my malnourished friend?
Yeah, I'm okay, thanks. I've got problems. I've got nowhere to put this whiskey glass down.
Yeah.
For a start.
Small studio.
That is a problem.
For a small man.
And, you know, the listeners get the magic of post-edited podcasts, but I've just had to sit here and listen to you try that 5 times. So, takes the shine away. But I'm well. How are you?
Very good, Gareth. Very good. Hot. It's bloody hot here. That's what I will say. And what I will also say is each and every week, soon after the episode airs, myself and Gareth will be here to give you our initial thoughts and hot takes on that episode. Then, a few days later, we will be joined by fellow survivor John to actually score the episode on our blueberry scale and then deep dive into the episode with a scene-by-scene breakdown whilst, of course, uncovering all its delicious Easter eggs and references to the game in our patented Clicker Corner.
Oh, yeah? Like is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, that's a bit of pre-production I've been working on.
Clicker Corner, very yep. good. Because the Cast of Us, that's a fantastic name yeah. as it is.
Brilliant, best name.
It's not original, is it?
Well, I will say, dear listener, we feel that we've been robbed. Mm. We'll talk about this in the deep dive, but let's just say, if you look at upload times, we were the first podcast called The Cast of Us, yeah? Correct. And they've all seen it and gone, great idea. I mean, it's not that original, to be honest. John thinks he's some sort of genius, but it is what it is. We are the OG Cast of Us podcast, okay? So
the only ones with Clicker Corner.
That's true.
Probably.
That is very, well, if they've taken that as well, Gareth, I don't know. We'll change to Cordyceps Corner. How does that sound?
Awful.
Not so, as much
I
of a ring.
No, I'm not going there.
We'll get on to that in a minute. Of course, we will be spoiling the first episode here with this podcast. So if you haven't seen it yet, please stop this, go watch it, and then come back and listen. I don't want us to be at fault for spoiling anything for any of you listeners. So definitely come back, but go watch the episode, listen to this.
Only if you want to. We're not telling you what to do. If you want to listen without watching,
correct,
go for it.
But don't blame us if there's any spoilers. Now it is finally time for the big question. After all of this wait, after almost, you know, over a decade, Gareth, since the game came out, did you enjoy the premiere, the season premiere?
Yes, I did. I loved it. I was hooked immediately. You know, we'll obviously go into details about specific things that maybe hooked us.
Hot takes, perhaps.
Hot take. Let's call them that. Mm. Let's call them that.
Lovely.
But it was an hour and a half. Honestly, it felt like 25 minutes to me. It flew by.
Yeah, it did.
I loved it. I was enraptured from the start. So I think it's been a cracking start. And any fears that we may have had may well have been alleviated by this episode.
Lovely. Mm. Yeah, I mean, look, I have been waiting for people who aren't gamers to experience this story for such a long time. Mm. I'm thinking of people like my partner, Mel, like who I'm like, oh, she would love this, but how, she doesn't like video games. So it's like, how do you get them to experience this story? And then seeing this and seeing something that I love realized so well was just bloody glorious. And it pretty much had everything that I'd ever hoped for and more. The performances were excellent. The set design, the set pieces, the score, it excelled into something way better than anything I thought it could have been.
Be careful. It sounds a bit like you're veering into hot take territory there.
Yeah, so. Well, don't you worry. I'm not going to go too far ahead. But I will say that I can't wait to watch it again to make the notes for the old deep dive, Gareth, which is obviously happening in about a day or so's time. Mm. Now, anyone who's listened to us before for any of our House of Dragon coverage, we're going to reel off some hot takes for you. This podcast isn't too long, probably like 30 minutes, because obviously the deep dive is going to go into scene-by-scene stuff. But I want to open it up with hot take number one, Gareth, and it is a fear that we had. Not necessarily a fear, but something we were a little concerned about was casting.
Yep.
I want to say this, listeners, we had a few little doubts, and that is just because we're very attached to the characters. Mm. We maybe like some alternate casting, potentially, that was rumoured before the characters were cast. However, I will say right now, I'm absolutely sold.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Agreed.
I think they absolutely bloody nailed it. Pedro Pascal as Joel, it just seemed so seamless. I don't know, it was like, I just really loved his relationship with Sarah, and then the bit of the relationship you see with Ellie in the episode I thought was really strong. You know, it was just perfect.
He looks like Joel.
He does.
Like, just perfect in that sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's nailing that kind of, you know, Texan veteran
gruff
like labourer kind of.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Not that we know many of those. Obviously, being British
and living in Australia. In Australia, we get lots of gruff labourers, actually. But
that is true. But they don't sound as good as Joel does.
No. He's he's got him down pat, as they say. Ooh. Here. Actually, that is a little Australian.
That is a saying.
Got him down pat. Yeah. Means he's nailed it.
Nailed it, mate. Mm. And I will say that right now, I thought that Bella Ramsey. And we had a few reservations because we were like, we loved her in Game of Thrones, and we wanted to see if she could, you know, be the Ellie that we wanted.
Yep. Yeah.
And already from the few scenes that she's been in, I'm not even questioning it. I'm going to roll with it, and I think it's great.
I'll say when she first appeared on screen, I think maybe our reservations are about just appearance. She kind of...
You reckon?
She just looks... I don't know, a little
bit. Well, not the Ellie that we expect.
She's not quite, when you look at her, she's got like quite a sweet face, I think.
Mm.
And
endearing.
And it's not that Ellie isn't an endearing character.
Mm.
She is, but you know, she's got that sort of street smarts kind of
edge to her. She's got an edge to her,
and
for sure.
I think Bella Ramsey doesn't necessarily have that appearance, but as soon as she opened her mouth, I was like, perfect. She's got it.
She nailed it.
She's got it.
She nailed it. And the few interactions that her and Joel had towards the end of the episode, I loved it. I loved them. I absolutely adored it.
Give me my knife. No.
it was slightly more cultured and nuanced than that, Gareth. But I like, general synopsis-wise, yeah. Wait for the deep dive before you do an actual table read of said scenes.
It was basically that.
Gareth, I believe we're going to pass to you for hot take number two.
You can see my little notebook.
I can see Gareth's little notepad.
Yeah,
he's opened it up.
You don't normally see it, do you?
No.
Hides
it.
hot take one. Hot take one. I've written scary start. There's more to it than that. Don't worry.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'm talking about the sort of prelude to it all.
So yeah, the 1968 or whatever it was.
1968 TV interview thing going on. Scared the crap out of me because I haven't had a chance yet, but I'm immediately going on to Google to see, like, will fungi adapt because of global warming?
Yeah.
And I'm now thinking of becoming an activist to persuade everybody to go solar, please, because we cannot have the temperature rising.
Gareth Thunberg.
Yes, that's... Yeah, yeah, very good.
Like that.
And I'm scared.
Well, I actually thought... So, look, I talked about this in the game review that we did recently and also a little bit in the preview podcast. And I did say if they didn't cold open with the outbreak, I'd be a little disappointed. However, I will talk about the outbreak in a minute. But I actually think that giving a bit of contextual nature to the virus is important. Mm-hmm. I think the rest of the episode doesn't shove it in your face. It's kind of like they're not giving you exposition every 5 seconds. It's just the world they live in, which I really loved. And we'll talk about that in a bit as well. I actually quite like this opening.
Yeah.
Some people might not. I'll be fascinated to hear what John thinks about it.
Well, it's got a timestamp.
It's got a timestamp. He hates those.
Don't tell me what year it is.
But also just because it's a little bit of a deviation in a way. It's a new fabricated scene. It's trying to explain the virus. I think I liked it, and it did feel very 1960s and stuff like that.
It did. I mean? How good was the presenter?
He was great.
And he's like, "Where do you get LSD from?
Yeah,
where do you get LSD from?"
It was quite funny, and he kept clicking his little pen, which you know, little clicker. Yeah, that's right, Gareth. Very good. So good one. Good one. Now let's talk about, I think, the biggest set piece of the episode and something that I've been waiting, so long to see visualized from the first time I played the game. And that is the opening of the game and essentially Outbreak Day. Of course, I said that in the preview pods that the opening is arguably the best opening to a game that I've ever played, right? And what they did here, which I thought was quite clever, is they made it longer. They gave Sarah some more time. So you could connect with the character more because you just have those first few scenes in the game. And here they give you the day, you know, as it happens. And she goes to school and she goes to this other house. And the tension was sort of slowly ramping up throughout about this was a whole like 20 minute segment of the episode, maybe half an hour. And it was slowly ratcheting up. And I felt it really benefited from that. Yeah. But when it did all kick off, Gareth, I love that they kept certain elements from the game. So they had that amazing camera angle from the back of the car, the POV of Sarah, when they're driving and you see the burning house and the chaos. That, to me, made it so much more intense. It felt like when I was playing the game, like you are just this bystander watching all this chaos go on around you. And you've got Joel and Tommy's dialogue, which I felt was fantastic. You've got Nana. Bloody Nana, Gareth.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
How terrifying is she?
Old, like, zombies are the worst, aren't they?
Old zombie. The scary bit was when she was, like, in the chair behind them, sort of out of focus. It was very Ari Aster-esque.
Yeah, good call.
You know, sort of very horror vibes.
Just needed her head to, like, rotate fully.
I really liked it. And there's been a lot of talk in the sort, and we'll get into this in the deep dive, but how they've got rid of the fact that the disease is spread via spores and now is spread via these like tendrils.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom noom.com and check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Yeah.
And you can see the tendrils like coming out of her mouth. Kind of like something I've seen out of Blade 2, which is a very weird reference. And I'm interested to see how that plays into the rest of the series. I did think it was quite a visceral viewing experience. When you see these infected tendrilling the other people, it was interesting. Yeah. It was a bit different, obviously. Not that it's bad different, but I'm interested to see how that affects the show as we go through the episodes.
It is interesting. Like, that's a deliberate choice. You do wonder why. But
I think it's because using gas masks all the time through, like, sections takes away the capacity for the actors to actually act. Do you see what I mean?
And maybe is it easier from a... an effects 100%. Perspective as well. Like,
yeah, I think they'd save a fortune doing it this way, personally. But yeah, you know, they'll know more than we do, of course.
It's interesting that the whole thing is basically from Sarah's point of view the whole day.
Which is
a really interesting choice, given, you know, she only lasts for 28 minutes.
Yep.
But yeah, great to see more of her. I'll tell you this though, right? When I was watching all of that,
yeah,
got to about 25 minutes,
yeah, go on,
which is when it's properly kicking off.
Like, yeah,
they're in the car and it's like, what is happening? Oh my god, chaos! Society's broken down. I got a phone call from my wife who was down at the shops getting some groceries.
Yeah,
and she was like, oh hey, I was just wondering, is there anything that you want for? Oh my god. Like, that's what she did on the phone. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. Shit, what is what's going on? She goes, those chicken soy chips are $6.20. I was like, right, okay.
Jesus Christ.
I was so on edge. Like, but that's how immersed I was in the show, that the idea of expensive
honey soy chicken crisps. Chips.
I'm tailoring it to potential American
lovely
listeners.
American listeners and Australian listeners. We are British at heart. We call chips crisps, okay? Yeah?
Actually, I'll tell you what, my wife, even though she's Australian, calls them crisps now as well.
Very good.
Because it makes more sense.
Very good. So, indoctrinated, if anything. I will say, that's good that you had all those heightened emotions, Gareth, because I'll be honest with you. I'll level with you right now. The gut punch, and I mean this quite literally, at the end of the Outbreak Day section... even though I've seen it so many times, it was so brutal, and it got me, Gareth. I actually was crying at this scene, and I think it was because I'm like, John will probably laugh at me, but I think it was because I'm visualizing something that I've wanted to see for such a long time, and
the emotion of it coming to you on a screen was what got you, is it?
No, I think it's that the actors did such a fantastic job. Like, the way that Pedro Pascal was just his acting in that scene, man, was absolutely phenomenal. And Tommy, you know, Gabriel Luna, I felt it was amazing. I felt it just was everything that I wanted it to be.
See, I mean, I agree with you entirely. I found it a really hard kind of moment to watch. And I can't help but wonder if that's because of fatherhood.
Like, oh, definitely.
I don't think 2 years ago that would have bothered me in the same way.
Like, yeah, I agree.
I would have been like, oh, great scene. That's tough. But it's so much harder when you've got, like, you know, I've got a little daughter, you've got a little son.
Mm.
And I think you just immediately are like, what Joel must be feeling in that moment.
Oh my god. It does hit harder, you're right. And just for me personally, and you've said for you personally, so that was, you know, we'll talk so much more about this, listeners, in the deep dive, because we've got a lot to unpack with Outbreak Day. But let's move on to Hot Take 4, Gareth.
My next hot take is, I sort of alluded to it in my opening comments, just that I feel really, really encouraged that that they're going to get this adaptation right. And what I mean by that is a thing that we spoke about a lot in the preview pod that we did, where you know, video game adaptations onto any screen, big or small, have not got a good track record at all.
No.
And I think we were hopeful that this would. And, you know, the fact that as a video game, obviously it's highly interactive, but there's a huge focus on the narrative, which isn't always the case with video games, which is probably why they're quite hard to adapt. So I think we did have high hopes that this would adapt it well. But it looks to me like it is nailing it. At no point was I watching this going, well, this is different from the video game, or
A bit gamey. That's, yeah, you know what I mean.
I never got that sense at all. It felt like a it felt like a drama.
It felt like a high end produced piece of television. There was no moment where I doubted it. You know, and that was something we always ride with video game adaptations, because look, there's an inherent danger. The track record is abysmal.
Terrible.
Absolutely abysmal. So to see something...
Apart from Super Mario Bros.
Oh my God, the new one. Or the 80s. Yeah. Oh yeah, of course. That's an absolute classic. No, but you're right, Gareth. I think we so far at this stage can say that our fears are being allayed by the fact that this was so fantastic, a fantastic season premiere.
Yeah.
And that rolls quite nicely into hot take number 5, Gareth, which is the overall look and feel of the show. Now, what I mean by that is I'm talking about, as a package, this show looks, and I'm sure it cost, $1 million/multiple millions of dollars. The cinematography, the shaky camera work, which is a must with a show like this, I think. The use of the original score was beautiful. I'm glad they didn't change it too much, or overproduce it, make new themes out of it. You know, I feel that the score is almost perfect. I love the score in the game. I like the fact that they're using it. The beaten up world overtaken by nature, everything run down. The money behind this guy.
The set design.
Oh yeah,
is terrific so far. Yeah, I mean, what we have seen looks fantastic. I cannot wait for them to get out. I'm really looking forward to seeing
different locations across the US.
The like completely abandoned parts.
And, oh yeah,
you know, we got a glimpse right at the end of.
I loved it.
You know, the collapsed last shot. Boston skyline and
great
stuff.
Set piece from the game. Great set piece from the game.
I think it's highly encouraging. But you know, that was a pretty focused episode in terms of location.
Yes.
So there's still room for them to have fucked it up, but there doesn't seem to be any evidence that they would do that.
I will say as well, and this was alluding to something that I said I'd talk about just before we go into a deep dive in a few days, is I was genuinely concerned about the amount of stuff the viewers would have to take in. So we'd be talking about, the virus, Fedra, fireflies, you know, ration cards, stages of infection, all this stuff. And do you know what? They did a fantastic job of not just going, so this is what this happened. Because sometimes when you see so many shows, they feel like they have to explain everything to you. This was done through little lines here or there. It was done through environmental storytelling, which is something the game does very well. It didn't lay it on too thick and didn't shove it in the audience's face. So the newcomers to the world of The Last of Us aren't now sat there like, what the hell just happened? Yeah. I feel like a lot of that washed over you, and it'll be fully fleshed out as the series goes on, but it was lovely not to have it like thrust in your face as like, hey, so cordyceps infection, there's different stages, and that was interesting, but it was shown in a poster.
Yep.
And that was it.
Yeah, that's great.
And there's elements like that I thought they did a fantastic job.
And some of the dialogue, like you know, when Ellie sort of when she refers to the Fireflies as a terrorist organization.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's like, rather, and then Marlene's like, terrorists?
Yeah.
Like, why are you calling it? Like, so it's obvious that, you know, Fireflies see themselves as
liberators,
freedom fighters.
Yeah.
But then the kind of the narrative that's peddled throughout is that they're terrorists. And you get that without somebody sitting there being like,
yeah.
When the Fireflies were established in 2007.
Yeah, like, it was nice to have that.
Yeah.
There was also like a lot of graffiti on the wall, obviously, which with the Fireflies like sort of motto, which is, you know, when lost in the darkness, look for the light. And I loved it when the guy came and spoke to Joel, and he's just like, if you fucking say look to the light, I'm going to punch your fucking face in, mate.
Yeah.
That was just great. Because that was kind of like what I was thinking. I was like, if I see that graffiti one more time, do you know what I mean? It was nice. I think that was well signposted. But yeah, that's basically our thoughts. The end shot of them as the 80s music comes on, subverting the trailer, which was Take On Me. They've obviously just inserted that for the trailer, and now they're using a completely different track.
It was Depeche Mode. I was going to ask you, which was... It was a great, great choice.
Yeah.
Obviously very 80s.
Yeah.
Do you, what would you pick as your like quintessential 80s tune?
Oh, Toto Africa.
Nice. Yeah, nice. Yeah, yeah. Very good. I reckon for me though, Tears for Fears, Head Over Heels.
Oh, tune.
Dun, 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 dun,
that is awesome. We'll ask John this on the deep dive because I think he will have a fantastic choice. But that is it for our initial thoughts of the series premiere of The Last of Us. Of course, as I've said, we'll be back in just over a day from now to have our deep dive episode with our fellow survivor, John, with a scene-by-scene breakdown and Click a Corner. You heard it here first on the one and only Cast of Us, detailing all the adapted game moments and their Easter eggs. If people would be so kind as to subscribe, share, and spread the word of this podcast, that would be amazing.
Like a fungi.
Like a fungal infection, in a way. let this podcast take over your brain and then infect others so that they all listen to this podcast. And this is the best one around, because it is, in a way. If people want to go even further and join our Patreon, then go to patreon.com/fancritical. That's patreon.com/fancritical, where you can get access to bonus content and help us out financially with delicious monies. And face it, now that the outbreak day's happened, money's useless. So you may as well...
Just give it to us.
Give it, in a way.
Give it away.
For free.
It doesn't mean
And, of course, actually... Before we do our deep dive record, you have time to email us. You can email us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com with your thoughts on the series premiere, your thoughts on what we might have missed, your thoughts on what you want us to talk about. And if you get it in time, we'll be able to talk about it in the podcast. So that's fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com.
Hit us up on the socials as well. What are we?
At fancriticalpod on Twitter, fan_critical on Instagram, and we are just fancritical on Facebook. All of those... things that I've just read, all that shit, will just be in the show notes. Yeah, so don't worry about that. Now, Gareth, my malnourished little
stop
friend,
going on about that.
Yeah, let's go on a supply run and find more rations for the rest of the groups.
Please.
John likes all the rations; he
but
eats them all.
Not
so.
The bloody honey soy crisps; they're
too expensive.
$6.20. That is mental, to be fair.
In the meantime, dear listener, remember: endure and survive.